Well, hello, the Reverend Steve Morris here. Thank you so much for joining me for this Sunday service on the 20th of June. Great to have your company. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. We begin now by bringing what we have to say sorry for to God, knowing that he promises to forgive and forget. Let's do that right now. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Well, we say the words of the Gloria because we praise God for his forgiveness and we're so grateful to him. So let's say those words right now. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Our Bible reading today, we're reading from the Gospel of Mark, and our reading today is from the end of that, which is Mark 4, beginning at verse 35. That night when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "What are you so afraid of? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Father, would you put your words upon my lips? It really is, isn't it, a striking reading. And that question, who is this? Who is this? And in many ways, the last 2,000 years have been a case of asking and answering that question. Who is this? Who is this Jesus? For those who were with him, it was maybe much more complicated because they saw him as a human being, as a friend, as just a regular person. Maybe they'd known him, they'd grown up close to him, they knew his family. And sometimes it's very hard, isn't it, to kind of break away from the person we knew who was a child or a young adult and to see them and to know them. But this, look at this. I mean, this is the Christ who has control of the whole of nature. Why does he have control? Well, the Bible tells us that he made it. It's his. And I find that lovely, really, that the world and everything in it is his, made by the joy and craft of his own hand, even through evolution. Jesus calms the storm. The fishermen in those days used to have a dread of the water. They thought that it was kind of somehow tied up with a kind of demonic and part of the world, dark and difficult and awful. Most fishermen didn't even learn to swim. There was no point learning to swim because if you fell in the middle, you were going to drown anyway, so get it over quickly. So when they're on this boat, they are really terrified because the storm is so terrible. Have you ever been in a storm on a boat? Because I have. And it is absolutely terrifying. I tell you what happened was Christine and I were on holiday in St. Lucia. And we got this, there were about six of us. We got in this little ribbed kind of boat and there was a sea captain and he took us out. It was just to be a little ride out of the bay and, you know, around a bit. Anyway, we went quite a long way out. As we came back in, the sea began to really, really whip up. And I was okay to begin with because I had that kind of naivety. I've got a life jacket on, be okay. But when the boat was going up about 6 foot in the air and then down again, and I caught the eye of the captain, and he looked terrified. My word, I was terrified. And then I noticed on the shore, people were gathered and watching. They could see what was happening. Of course, I survived, we all survived, but that was so, so viscerally terrifying. And I think that's what we need to kind of, as it were, emotionally inhabit the life, the way these fishermen would have been. We tend to see things on two levels, don't we? One is what it means. You know, what does it mean? This means, actually, quite straightforwardly, that Jesus is the Lord of all life. That's fine. But we also see things psychologically, metaphorically, because each of us too understands the idea of storms in our own lives, times when it seems like things are completely out of control and we are never going to be safe again. We're going to drown. I guess there's not one person alive who hasn't felt that. And so we get from this two things. One is that the Christ is ultimately the most powerful being there is, and we can trust him. And he is our friend, and that is really strong. But secondly, we can go to him when there are storms in our lives, when our life seems like it's going about to turn upside down, or we haven't got a life jacket. I was very struck when the footballer Ericsson had the collapse on the pitch. You know, people were just praying. And I think sometimes when the chips are down, not many of us are going to blame God. We're just going to call upon him. And that seems to me to be a very heartwarming and real thing to do. Finally, one thing. I think we have to be really careful about understanding the tone of voice of Jesus. I mean, it's perfectly understandable, isn't it, that they were worried. It would be really, really unreasonable if you were God and just go, what on earth are you worrying about, you silly things? So we need to read it in a certain way. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Can you see that with a little laugh, a chuckle, it's completely different to the alternative? That's something worth pondering on. The followers wondered who he was, that he had this elemental power, and they were soon to find out. And we know, and that power, that resurrection power, is something absolutely on offer to us as well. Amen. Let us pray. I'm going to give you some time now, just some quiet time, a minute or so, to raise and lift your own prayers, or just to sit quietly and enjoy God's presence. Father, we thank you that we can come to you in the storms of our lives. When all else seems to fail, you do not fail. We pray that today for our country and our world, there will be fairness in the distribution of the vaccine, that we would soon see the end of this terrible pandemic, and also that our world would be a more just and fair place at the end of it. We pray too for our leaders. Politicians, church leaders, leaders of charities and organisations, leaders of teachers and social workers, leaders everywhere, Lord. And also for those of us who follow, that we would be good followers, that we would work hard and with integrity, Lord, and we ask you that really from the bottom of our hearts. Father, in these changing times, we ask you to help keep us afloat. Help us to be at the vanguard of the good changes this world is going to experience. And now, friends, I ask you, just in the quiet of your own heart, to lift up to God anyone you're worried about. Heavenly Father, we lift these prayers to you. Amen. So at this part of the service, we have the peace. We're a people of peace, we're at peace with God, and we're at peace with each other. So I invite you now to maybe text someone, or if you're with someone, give them a socially distanced fist pump or whatever else you're going to do. And let's do that now. When Jesus came, he brought us his peace, the peace of the Lord. Be always with you. Amen. And so, friends, we now join together in the words of the Eucharistic prayer. I'll say all the words, but you'll find the whole service on the internet, on our website, and you can, of course, join along at home. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death, and so we gladly thank you, with saints and angels praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and we bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence, his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross, bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation. We proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Amen. And so, friends, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Friends, I have just taken the communion. And we do so, even if we can't in person, we kind of accept God's extraordinary offer to be at the top table with him. So we have reached the end of our service. Thank you so much for joining me. Hopefully soon we'll all be back in great numbers back at church, and we'd love to have you there. It's quite a short service, this one, I know. So, you know, do feel free to pause it, you know, pause and think. Maybe pause after the... go back and listen to the reflection and think and pray about that. Yeah, please do that. And so, we end with a blessing. Lord, would you bless us? Would you be with us? Would you send your angels to whisper words of comfort to us? Would you be with us in our coming and our going? Would you give us peace? Would you help us to be filled with love and the knowledge of you? Would you protect us and the people whom we love? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.